നമസ്കാരം. ന്യൂസിലൻഡിലെ നമ്മുടെ മലയാളം എഫ് എം പ്രോഗ്രാം എഫ് എം ഫ്രീക്വൻസി 104.6 ഇന്നത്തെ പരിപാടികൾ ആരംഭിക്കുന്നു. ഇന്നാദ്യം കണക്ട്, കണക്ടിംഗ് കേരള ആൻഡ് ക്യുവീസ്. ഇന്നത്തെ കണക്ടിൽ വൺ ന്യൂസിലൻഡ് സിഇഒ ജേസൺ പാരീസുമായുള്ള അഭിമുഖം, തുടർന്ന് ലീന സോബൻ അവതരിപ്പിക്കുന്ന ശ്രുതി ദേവതമാർ. ഈ പരിപാടിയുടെ പ്രായോജകർ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്.
നിങ്ങൾക്ക് അനുയോജ്യമായ ഹോം ലോൺ, ഫസ്റ്റ് ഹോം, ഇൻവെസ്റ്റ്മെന്റ്, റീഫിനാൻസ്, റീഫിക്സ്, കൺസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ലോൺ, കൊമേഴ്ഷ്യൽ ലോൺ, കാർ ലോൺ എന്നിവയ്ക്ക് നിങ്ങളുടെ വിശ്വസ്ത സാമ്പത്തിക ഉപദേഷ്ടാക്കൾ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്. 0800-574-722. വിശ്വസിക്കാം, വിദഗ്ധരെ.
വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്. നിങ്ങൾ ന്യൂസിലൻഡിൽ എവിടെയാണെങ്കിലും നിങ്ങളുടെ തൊട്ടടുത്ത ഗ്രോസറി കടയിൽ നമ്മുടെ കേരള തനിമയിൽ കോട്ടയത്തു നിന്നുള്ള വിശ്വാസ് ഉൽപ്പന്നങ്ങൾ ലഭ്യമാണ്. വ്യത്യസ്തതകളേറെ സ്വാദിലും മുൻപിൽ വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്. ഇനി കേൾക്കാം വൺ ന്യൂസിലൻഡ് സിഇഒ ജേസൺ പാരീസുമായുള്ള പ്രത്യേക അഭിമുഖം.
വെൽക്കം ടു യുവർ ഷോ ജേസൺ.
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
Thanks. Jason, One New Zealand is always at the forefront of embracing new technology. When you think about people living in remote or rural communities, how we are making sure that they aren't left behind when the technology is advancing?
Yeah, so probably the most obvious example of that is our investment in SpaceX. When you are looking at rural or regional communities, it is sometimes difficult to justify building 4G or 5G or fibre networks when the populations are so small.
Yeah.
And so that's when you need to look at alternative technologies, especially satellite technology from space.
Yeah.
So our partnership with SpaceX is a big part of that. We think it's a game changer because
Absolutely.
It's a quality service. And whether you use Starlink for broadband or you use Starlink for mobile via One New Zealand, it's a way to make sure that rural and regional communities continue to be connected. The industry also works together through a group called RCG, or Rural Connectivity Group.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically means that 2degrees, Spark and One New Zealand, and with the New Zealand government, pool some funds to help build infrastructure in those more remote communities, because it wouldn't make sense for us to do it individually, but it can make sense for us to do it collectively.
Oh, great. It's a collective action to support the community across the country.
Yes, because, you know, as we know, connectivity nowadays
it's
an essential service.
Yeah.
If you ask a teenager, they'd probably rather give up water than give up their mobile phone. It's difficult for you to run your business, to stay in contact with family and friends, to do your job if you don't have connectivity. And so we understand how important it is.
Absolutely. Jason, you are referring that mobility or connectivity is like water for the common people.
Yes.
What is One New Zealand doing to make it more affordable or inclusive for the common man?
Yeah, so there are a whole bunch of ways that we do that. First of all is making sure that your ability to have a small amount of calling, texting and data can be as little as $9 a month. And you have to remember that, you know, for that amount of money, you are connected to sometimes space at the same time. So it's pretty good value. The other big impediment for people is the cost of new devices.
Absolutely.
So most people want to upgrade their phone every 3 or 4 years because the battery life reduces or new features come out. Those new devices were maybe $700 a few years ago. They're now up to $3,000-$4,000 now. So another big part of what One New Zealand does is we subsidise handsets quite a lot. We have a proposition called Wallet, which basically means each of our One New Zealand customers has amount of money in a wallet that we have given them to go to their next phone. Secondly, we allow you to trade your old device in.
Uh-huh.
So that device that you are currently using has a lot of value in other markets. And so don't put it in a drawer. Bring it in and give it back. It's good, better for the environment, and it can go towards your next phone. And then if you have more than one product with us, we also give you even more money to go into your wallet towards your next phone as well. So we heavily discount devices. We also make our plans as cost effective as possible. And the other thing that we do is we have actually a foundation called the Te Rauro Foundation. Mm. We invest more than $2 million every single year in especially targeting the most disadvantaged youth and making sure that they have the right connectivity and technology available to them at the same time. So there's lots of ways that One New Zealand tries to help communities who otherwise might not be able to afford the best plans and devices.
Yeah, great to hear that. One New Zealand always focus on giving back to the community or supporting the community with your partnership programs, like the youth program in the Invercargill. Can you share some incident of a partnership project with a community that highly benefited youth or family?
Yeah, so one of the ways, like you mentioned before, the investment that we made in Invercargill. So our approach with our foundation is that we've got a very clear mission, which is to halve the number of disadvantaged youth in Aotearoa, New Zealand. But we don't suggest that we know how to do that. And so what we do is we go into the communities that are most disadvantaged, and one of those communities happens to be Invercargill, as you mentioned, and then we identify different community partners that are already doing amazing work, and we give them funds for them to be able to enable it. One of the things I probably most proud of is the partnership that we've got with Invercargill Schools and the One New Zealand Warriors. And every year we bring up a group of school children up to Auckland. They get to go to the Warriors. They get to meet and see all of how that works. They come into One New Zealand. They get to see engineering, marketing, sales, service, data and AI. And they get to an understanding that the world is their oyster. Anything is possible for them if they just work hard and make the most of the opportunities that that they're given. And so I see that we've been doing that for a number of years now, and what I'm really proud of is seeing these children who, before they got exposed to the Warriors, to One New Zealand, they maybe didn't think that they had a path to get out of Invercargill and do something else, even for a period of time, whether it's any role within the Warriors or any role within One New Zealand. And so it's nice for them to kind of see that if they work hard and take the opportunities, that they can do anything.
Jason, I have heard you have been very vocal about, or a vocal champion of, workforce diversity and authenticity.
Yes.
I see you encourage your new employees or staff when you join your team, be yourself.
Yes.
Don't try to copy others. What is that you feel these migrant workforce contribute to the country's overall businesses? How you value the migrant workforce?
Look, over my career, I have seen time and time again that diversity of thought, diversity of background, thinking, experience, drives better business outcomes, drives better customer outcomes, drives better cultural outcomes. So it's a data-driven fact that having a diverse workforce is a smart business decision.
Absolutely.
We don't want 3,000 people in our organisation who all act in the same way. You want people with different opinions, thinking in different ways, brainstorming with different ideas, and collectively we'll make sure that we get the best ones and we put them in front of our customers to help them and benefit them. So we do that by making sure that we have a range of different communities within our organisation as well. for people to celebrate their backgrounds, their countries, their families, their whānau, and encourage diversity of thinking. So you're right. It's one of the most important pillars for me of our organisation is diversity. And I love the fact that Aotearoa New Zealand is becoming more ethnically diverse because I think it's great for the country.
That's great to hear from you. It gives a lot of confidence, like people like us, because sometimes we might get skeptical or shy away from our accent. Or are you following our accent? Is that something which you have ever felt?
Yeah, I think it's disappointing that there are still some pockets of New Zealand, normally elderly white people, who struggle with the language and the different ways that people talk or communicate or their beliefs. And it scares them, or they don't like change, you know. And so a vast majority of our workforce are made up of a range of different ethnicities. And so when I listen to some of our call centre calls sometimes, and someone answers the phone and they're in New Zealand, and someone says, hello, where are you? Well, I'm in Auckland, or I'm in Christchurch. I don't believe you. What's the weather like outside? And, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Tissues.
Yeah. But in the end, I think New Zealand is progressing, albeit more slowly than we would like, to be an inclusive, positive society where all of the country should be welcoming for anyone who wants to become a New Zealander. Like, I think this is the greatest country on the planet. I think it's a real privilege to live here.
Absolutely.
One of the drivers of the economy is a growing population base. People coming in, starting new businesses, you know, investing, spending money, bringing family here. That's the future of New Zealand is through that growth. And so should be encouraged and celebrated, not criticised.
Glad to hear that. Jason, you have credited your childhood with growing to be becoming a strong decision maker. But looking back, have you ever felt I could have taken a different decision or a bit differently? Any situations, if you can share with us, and what you have learned from that situation?
Yeah, well, like as you mentioned, my childhood, my upbringing, as I think with everyone, you know, has a significant influence on who you are today. And I've talked openly that my mother had me when she was 16 and my father left straight away. So she was a 16-year-old solo mum. You know, it's a pretty young age to be bringing up a child. And so I was given leadership opportunities at a very young age, right? When I was 3 or 4 or 5, you know, you're the man of the house. Mm. And so here is your duties. Here is your job. This is what I expect, you know, of you. And so mum created an environment of love, but also, you know, that you work hard and you have to try your best and you contribute from a very early age. And so that was a privilege. But of course, we all make mistakes. We don't always get things right. I think the thing that I'm working on the most is having those tough conversations with people. You know, I don't know that anyone should like conflict. But when things aren't going right or well, or you can see that someone has an opportunity to improve their performance or to grow, then you shouldn't be hesitant in having a conversation about it in the right way.
Yeah.
And I think I've matured in that way, whereas I think earlier in my career I would have avoided that because I was worried I was going to hurt their feelings or that would create some tension that I didn't want to be a part of. And now I give my feedback as more of a gift because I know myself, if someone observed an opportunity for me to improve, I would much rather they told me than not, and for me to not know. Because if you don't know about it or you're not aware of it, you can't do something about it. So I think I've made those mistakes earlier in my career, and I'm getting a lot better at having those more courageous conversations in the right way with caring, thoughtfulness. I think that's helping me and hopefully also helping the people I'm having the conversation with.
This, and hope you will agree with me, today's world is all about influencers. I heard you used to refer about your wife Rachel and mom Annette, I think the name is right.
Yes.
A great inspiration to you, and they share some common qualities. Can you share one quality of both of them has inspired and you were looking the life in a different way because of this inspiration?
I would say, if I can share two things,
yeah.
One would be hard work. And so they always try their best in everything they do. And so it's something that Rachel and I talk to our children about. We don't look at the marks you get at school, we look at the effort grade, because the marks will come. If we know that you are giving it your best, trying your hardest, then you will achieve your potential. If you're not, you won't. And so hard work and perseverance are both common assets of both my mum, Annette, and my wife, Rachel. And the other one I would say is generosity, especially of their time.
Mm.
And so very caring of others, whether it's family or friends or anyone who asks for help. Both of them are very generous in every facet of their life. So I think generosity and hard work are two common traits they've got that are pretty impressive ones.
Yeah, that's a very rare combo and remarkable values, hard work, perseverance, and generosity.
I think
it's a great combination. Talking about Rachel, she has done a recent novel, See How They Fall, and it's receiving world-class acclaims. How do you see her journey? How do you see her journey, your wife pursuing her passion, leaving a corporate work? How do you see that journey unfold up close to you?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing she would say is she's privileged that she has a husband who works, right? And
yeah.
So that enables her to make the commitment to write. But she has been writing, even when she was doing her other jobs, throughout her entire life. So it's always been her first and most important passion, has been writing ever since she was five.
Ooh.
And so she didn't actually want to be a lawyer, she kind of just ended up being a lawyer, and throughout the entire time I've known her, she's been a writer of short stories, of children's books, of screenplays, of poetry. Like, she's always written, and she made the brave commitment to go, I'm going to go all in. So she enrolled herself into Auckland University. She went back to school. On her first day of university class, they thought that she was the teacher because she was like an adult student. And in a 12-month commitment to finish a novel. She is ambitious, and she did say to me, look, all I want is I want just to write a novel. And I said to her, I know you. You want to write the novel, but you'll want to get first in class, and then you'll want to get it published, and then you'll want to write another novel. And so she's on that path. You know, I'm really proud of her. Phenomenal group of talented students in that class.
Yeah.
She did graduate first. She did win the Phoenix Award for the top student.
Oh.
And then she got a two-book deal with her publisher.
Mm.
So the first one, See How They Fall,
yeah.
Number one in New Zealand,
yeah.
Launched in Australia, in the US. It's been optioned by a Hollywood studio.
Yeah.
So how incredible is that?
Absolutely.
And she's now halfway through writing her second novel as well. And so it was really brave of her to do that. And then it's also, you don't understand how brave it is to put 80,000 of your personal words out there for someone to critique.
Yeah.
You know, people reviewing them and giving their judgment, good or bad. She's lucky that the majority of it has been really positive. And New Zealanders have been incredible in how supported, they've supported her. Yeah, so we're very privileged.
I can see that during her interviews, how the press and the media is supporting her.
Yes.
That's incredible achievement.
Yeah.
One New Zealand used to be the number one network within the country consecutively for 4 years now. What do you believe that sets your team and the network apart from the others?
I think our relentless focus on customer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I said before, the majority of my time when I started and then in my role has been spent talking to customers, because they know what is really going on within your business and what is going well and what isn't. And so everything that we do is focusing on being the best at what our customers value the most. And we know that one of those important facets is connectivity and coverage. I know that in 10 years' time, someone isn't going to say, I love One New Zealand, I just wish I couldn't use my phone where I was. And so that means that we are making hundreds of millions of dollars of investment every single year in the next generations of technology to make sure we've got more coverage in New Zealand, but also overseas. More capacity where you need it, and then also even better products on those networks at the same time. So you're right, 4 years in a row, best in test network in New Zealand. We're really proud of that. And then also our partnership with SpaceX and Starlink means that our customers are more productive and safer with us.
Great. You talked about SpaceX and Starlink. Apart from that, looking forward, what big changes or developments you see in this telecom domain and how it is going to impact the normal day-to-day life of New Zealanders?
I think that the biggest and probably even bigger than space technology is artificial intelligence. AI now has surprised even the largest technology companies around the world with how quickly it is developing and learning and impacting. It's something that we've been deploying in our organisation for over 10 years now. So at a very basic level, just using artificial intelligence to make data-driven decisions. And then we've been using artificial intelligence to do things like robotic process automation. And for those listeners that don't understand what that means, it's just a repetitive task that a person might have had to do can now be done by a machine. So a person can work on more value-added stuff than just pushing a button constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
The next generation of that is generative AI, and what that basically means is that the AI tool can generate a recommendation for you. So because this has happened, you should think about doing that. Because a customer has done this, they might now want to do that. That's the third phase of AI. And the fourth phase that's really exploded in the last month is agentic AI. And this is where you can develop a robot to do a task of a human.
Yeah.
So you can give it a persona, you can give it data, and you can tell it to act on your behalf with or without your oversight. And so I think agentic AI, the pace and the sophistication of this technology has surprised anyone everyone around the world. So I think this will be the next big impact on our customers, is the ability for us to make products cheaper, ensure that they work, make sure the right advice and support is there for them faster and at a higher quality than they have ever seen before. So it's something that we are all in on. We want to make sure that we are New Zealand's leading AI company, and we want to do that, A, because we think our customers will benefit from it, but we think we can lead the way for New Zealand to hopefully create even more growth industries for this country using AI technology.
Great. With AI technology transforming the whole landscape, should the workforce listening to us, should they be scary that will my job is going to be jeopardized just because of AI taking over most of the jobs? What will be your comment for that?
I think you should be scared if you are not embracing AI. Mm-hmm. So what we talk about at work at One New Zealand is AI is coming to your job, not for your job. But if you don't understand the technology of AI, someone who knows AI better than you will take your role. Yeah. Now, there are going to be some tasks, as I said before. If you are in a role where you are doing a monotonous task, there are going to be tools that will come that will end up doing those tasks for you on your behalf. But anyone has a to-do list that they can never get to, right? You can do five tasks of your 10 that you want to get to. And so what this AI tooling will most likely do in the first instance is allow you to be more productive in other areas of your work that you can't get to as much as you would like to. Or if your entire role is going to be replaced by AI, because you know how AI is going to be deployed in your area, you can be the AI expert in understanding that. The other thing you can do is upskill and reskill yourself to play another part within the organisation where AI might not be impacting as much. So I think this is an opportunity for people to future-proof the next 10 years of their career if they embrace AI and start to learn and experience and experiment with it. And all of these tools are available today, many of them free. So probably the most advanced one that's most accessible is ChatGPT at the moment. So you can download that for free. There are subscription versions of it, but you don't need to subscribe to it. And it's like the new Google. So ask it questions and see how amazing this technology is. The only caveat I'd say is don't put personal information in there. That information is still going into the public cloud. And so just to ask it generic questions that you might of Google, or suggestions on how can I help my children do their homework, or, what is this type of tree, and you'll be quite surprised at how advanced these models are, how you can have a conversation with them, how you can use video as well as text. And I think the other thing that people should, remember is that most people will be using AI in their day-to-day life already, but just not knowing that they are. So if you're using a map, a digital map, that is enabled by AI. Mm. If you're using a music app, that is enabling AI. If you're using any form of social media at all, that is enabled by AI. You're just probably not overtly aware of it. So don't be scared of it. Get involved in it. Understand it. And I think if you do that, it'll set yourself up for the next 10 years of your career. Even if your role is impacted, you'll future-proof your career through understanding more than the next person.
That's a great or a positive affirmation from you, Jason, to the listeners. Upskill, take the opportunities, grab the opportunities outside. Don't shy away. Embrace the AI as a technology which is going to help your work, not taking away your work. That's a great note. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, and thanks for joining with us with Malayalam FM. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
പ്രിയ ശ്രോതാക്കൾ, മലയാളം എഫ് എം 104.6 ഇതുവരെ കേട്ടത് കണക്ട്, വൺ ന്യൂസിലൻഡ് സിഇഒ ജേസൺ പാരീസുമായുള്ള പ്രത്യേകാഭിമുഖം. ഈ പരിപാടിയുടെ പ്രായോജകർ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്. ഇനി കേൾക്കാം ലീന സോബൻ അവതരിപ്പിക്കുന്ന ശ്രുതി ദേവതമാർ.
മലയാളം എഫ് എം 104.6 എല്ലാ ശ്രോതാക്കൾക്കും ശ്രുതി ദേവതമാർ എന്ന പരിപാടിയിലേക്ക് വീണ്ടും സ്വാഗതം. നമ്മുടെ ഗായികമാരിലെ സ്വർണ ശബ്ദമായ ജാനകിയമ്മയുടെ പാട്ടുകളിലേക്ക് വീണ്ടും ഒരു സഞ്ചാരം. ജാനകിയമ്മയുടെ ഇളയരാജ പാട്ടുകൾ നോക്കാം. 1978 ഇളയരാജ മലയാളത്തിൽ വന്നപ്പോൾ മുതൽ ജാനകിയമ്മയുടെ സ്വരം ആ സംഗീതമഴയ്ക്ക് കൂട്ടുണ്ട്. വ്യാമോഹം എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിലെ പൂവാടികളിൽ എന്ന ഗാനത്തിൽ തുടങ്ങിയതാണ് ആ കോംബോ. നമ്മെ വേറെ ഏതോ ലോകത്തേക്ക് കൊണ്ടുപോയ പാട്ടുകൾ. ഓണങ്ങളിലെ തുമ്പീവാ, ആലോലത്തിലെ വീണേ വീണേ, കുട്ടിച്ചാത്തനിലെ ആലിപ്പഴം പെറുക്കാൻ, ഒന്നാണ് നമ്മളിലെ വാരിട്ടെഴുതിയ നീലക്കടക്കണ്ണിൽ, സാഗര സംഗമത്തിലെ മൗനം പോലും മധുരം, യാത്രയിലെ യമുനേ നിന്നുടെ നെഞ്ചിൽ, പപ്പയുടെ സ്വന്താപൂസിലെ ഓലത്തുമ്പത്തിരുന്നോയലാടും. ജാനകിയമ്മയുടെ ജോൺസൺ പാട്ടുകളായാലോ.
സ്വർണമുഖിലേ ഗോപികേ പൊന്നുരുകും പൂക്കാലം താലം താലോലം തളിർ മുന്തിരി വള്ളിക്കുടലിൽ.
അക്കൂട്ടത്തിൽ വേറിട്ട് നിൽക്കുന്ന ഒരു പ്രാർത്ഥനാ ഗാനമുണ്ട്, സമാഗമം എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിനു വേണ്ടി ഒ എൻ വി എഴുതിയ ഗാനം.
വാഴ്ത്തിടുന്നിതാ
അടുത്തത്. സമയപരിമിതി മൂലം മറ്റ് സംഗീത സംവിധായകരുടെ പാട്ടുകൾ ഉൾക്കൊള്ളിക്കുവാൻ സാധിക്കുകയില്ല. 1979 രവീന്ദ്രൻ മാഷ് മലയാള സിനിമയിൽ ചൂള എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിലൂടെ വന്നപ്പോൾ മുതൽ ജാനകീസ്വരം ആ പാട്ടുകൾക്ക് മധുരം കൂട്ടിയിട്ടേ ഉള്ളൂ. ചിരിയോ ചിരി എന്ന ബാലചന്ദ്രമേനോൻ ചിത്രത്തിൽ കൊക്കാമന്തേ എന്ന പാട്ടിൽ കുസൃതി കുട്ടികളുടെ സ്വരം ജാനകിയമ്മ ഭംഗിയായി അവതരിപ്പിച്ചിട്ടുണ്ട്. താരാട്ടിലെ രാഗങ്ങളെ മോഹങ്ങളെ തേനും വായമ്പും യുവജനോത്സവത്തിലെ ആമുഖം കണ്ട നാൾ, ഏപ്രിൽ 19 മഴ പെയ്താൽ കുളിരാണെന്ന്, ഇത്തിരി പൂവേ ചുവന്ന പൂവിലെ ഓ മനത്തിങ്കൾ കേടാവോ. ജാനകിയമ്മയുടെ പാട്ടുകളിൽ 2005 പുറത്തിറങ്ങിയ ചാന്ദ്പോട്ട് എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിലെ ആഴക്കടലിന്റെ എന്ന ഗാനം ഓർമ്മ വരുന്നു. 2000 ദേവദൂതൻ എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിലെ എൻ ജീവനേ, 2002 റിലീസ് ചെയ്ത ഒന്നാമൻ എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിലെ എസ് പി വെങ്കടേഷ് ഗാനം മിഴിതളിൽ.
മകൾ പൊതിഞ്ഞിടാം പറയൂ നിന്റെ പരിഭവം.
ജാനകിയമ്മ പാടിയ സലീൽ ചൗധരിയുടെ ഗാനങ്ങൾ എങ്ങനെ മറക്കാൻ പറ്റും? 1973 സ്വപ്നം എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിലാണ് സലീൽ ചൗധരി മലയാളത്തിലേക്ക് വന്നത്. ആ ചിത്രത്തിലെ മഴവിൽ കൊടി കാവടി, ശേഷം വന്ന മനോഹരങ്ങളായ അനശ്വര ഗാനങ്ങൾ, എത്ര തലമുറ കഴിഞ്ഞാലും മധുരം വറ്റാത്ത പാട്ടുകൾ, കീലുകീലും മലർക്കൊടി പോലെ സന്ധ്യ ഈ കൈകളിൽ യാമിനി ദേവി യാമിനി. അക്കൂട്ടത്തിൽ എനിക്ക് വ്യക്തിപരമായി ഇഷ്ടമുള്ളൊരു പാട്ടുണ്ട്, പ്രതീക്ഷ എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിലെ നെറുകയിൽ നീ തൊട്ടു. പാട്ടുകൾ ജാനകിയമ്മ പാടിത്തന്നു കഴിഞ്ഞിരിക്കുന്നു. ഏതുതരം ശ്രോതാവിനെയും ആകർഷിക്കാൻ പോകുന്ന മാന്ത്രികതയുടെ പേരാണ് എസ് ജാനകി. ഏതൊരു സംഗീത സംവിധായകന്റെയും ഈണങ്ങൾക്ക് ആ ശബ്ദം ചിറക് നൽകി. ശൃംഗാരവും കരുണയും ഭക്തിയും ഒരേ ശ്വാസത്തിൽ ആഴത്തിൽ ആവിഷ്കരിക്കാൻ കഴിഞ്ഞ ഒരേ ഒരു ഗായിക എസ് ജാനകി. ദേവതമാർ എന്ന പ്രോഗ്രാം അവസാനിക്കുന്നു. പാട്ടുകളിൽ സ്വരമഴ പെയ്യിച്ച നമ്മുടെ ഗായികമാരെയും അവരുടെ പാട്ടുകളുടെയും ഓർമ്മകളുമായി വീണ്ടും വരാം. നിങ്ങളുടെ അഭിപ്രായങ്ങളും നിർദ്ദേശങ്ങളും പ്രൊഡ്യൂസർ @malayalamfm.co.nz എന്ന ഇമെയിലിൽ അറിയിക്കാം. നന്ദി.
ഇതോടെ മലയാളം FM 104.6 എന്ന ഇന്നത്തെ പരിപാടികൾ അവസാനിക്കുന്നു. അടുത്ത പ്രക്ഷേപണം അടുത്ത വെള്ളിയാഴ്ച വൈകുന്നേരം 7:25. അതുവരേക്കും എല്ലാ പ്രേക്ഷകർക്കും നമസ്കാരം പറയുന്നത് സിന്ധു പുന്നോസ്. മലയാളം FM 104.6 പാട്ടുപാടാം, കൂട്ടുകൂടാം, കാറിലും കേൾക്കാം. ശ്രീലങ്ക